Adam Pengilly from the Sydney Morning Herald is joining us. Adam, good morning.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. You're going to be on the circuit with Mitch Beer tonight. That'll be something to see in Albury, I reckon.
Imagine if he wins the Cup.
Oh. you guys might not back up to Sydney this weekend if he wins the Cup.
No, for a week maybe. But last night, Parramatta fans, they were kicking up, that's for sure. What a game it was too, and what a start to the season we've had, Adam, just punctuated by that game last night.
Yeah, I've got to say, Mido, I thought of the opening three rounds have been some of the most enjoyable I've seen for a very, very long time. I was a bit concerned, to be honest, with the World Cup at the back end of last year and the shortened pre-season, but the competition started in fantastic fashion. A lot of close games. I think the ladder's going to be a lot different to what we saw last year from the evidence we've seen so far in the first 3 weeks. And again there last night, probably an upset of sorts with Parramatta getting their first win on the board over Penrith. It was a really interesting game. It was pretty much a game of attrition. Both teams had a really high completion rate, and it sort of, given there wasn't a whole lot of errors, it seemed to whiz by really quickly. You sort of looked up at the clock in the first half. It was only 5 minutes to go before half time. So yeah. I thought Parramatta deserved their win last night. Nathan Cleary's field goal, I know you guys have been speaking about it already, but like, how did he do that? Like, that's just absolutely incredible from 45 metres. And then you would have thought they had all the running going as a golden point with an extra man, and then obviously Mitch Kenny gets sin binned for the first tackle that Penrith make pretty much in golden point, and Mitchell Moses goes down the other end and ices the game. And we've been talking about it now for a few weeks. If he wants to earn these type of dollars that he's sort of commanding in his next contract, he's got to be able to win these big games and ice them when they matter, and he did that there last night. So full credit to Mitch, and I think his celebration sort of showed what's on his mind at the moment.
Adam, there's talk, or they're saying he's signed, but it doesn't sound like he has signed.
I think he's agreed, Clarkie. I think he's agreed to the deal. I don't think whether he's put pen to paper yet, I highly doubt. I think he's still waiting to do that. But I think his manager...
So has he told the Tigers, for example, that their deal, he won't be accepting their deal, or he won't be speaking to them anymore?
I think the Tigers are very well aware that he's going to be staying at Parramatta, Clarkie, if I put it in those terms. So the deal definitely wasn't signed before last night's game, and Mitchell was very coy about it when he was asked about it on the field after the game. We tried to get into the shed to have a quick interview with Mitchell. He declined to do that, didn't want to talk to the media or the written press after the game, sort of, I think, which sort of signals that it's still not quite completely done yet, but it's pretty much there, which is an important re-signing for the Eels, obviously, but now they've got to start winning football games. It's as simple as that. So this side that's probably gone on for months now, hasn't it, really? It's been toing and froing whether he's going to stay or not. And to be honest, I have no issue with Mitchell taking as long as he needs, because the system allows him to do that. Like, that's he's playing within the rules. And I suppose you can have really... I've personally got no issue with what he's done. And the other factor to this is that Parramatta gave him an option in his contract for next year. So even if everything went belly up the last few weeks, he can just still sit there and trigger that option for 2024 and he'll be under contract. So I suppose they probably backed themselves into a corner a little bit, Parramatta, but now he's on the books and he'll be there till the end of 2028.
Tell you what, in Brisbane, you can't get enough of the Dolphins at the moment.
Well, Loz, it's almost completely overshadowed the build-up to the grand final rematch between Parramatta and Penrith last night as well. I must admit, I thought the build-up to that game last night was pretty much as quiet as I would have expected, to tell you the truth. And that's because a lot of people are talking about this game between the Broncos and Dolphins tonight. I think, Loz, this is the night where the Dolphins get maybe a bit of a reality check. I think Felice Kaufusi is obviously a huge out. Jerry Marshall-King's still not there. I think the Broncos, especially if it's dry up there in Brisbane tonight, should win, and I think they should win quite handsomely. I've loved the byplay and the build-up to this week. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Kevy and the other Broncos officials have been calling them Redcliffe all week. They refuse to call them by their proper name, the Dolphins, which they want to be known. And I thought Wayne's appearance, did you guys catch his press conference yesterday at Suncorp Stadium before the game?
I've been reading a bit about it.
I went and watched the whole 12 or 13 minutes of the press conference. It was just fantastic. Just the journos are in between left, right and centre. And he just deflects and bats across every question he gets asked. So it was just a masterclass from Wayne in how to deal with the media. So,
see, that you know, masterclass, buddy, from the pro.
Yeah,
masterclass. Mido doesn't like him.
No.
He doesn't like
rock
him.
Rock up to the launch. Not the coach, mate, of the club.
Mate, he's a Ferrari. Do not take the Ferrari out of the garage for a troll match. Oh, what for? Come on.
Jared, I reckon he would have been speaking to so many journalists this week privately on background. When it comes to the public appearance at the launch, he's like, nah, I'm not going to go. Couldn't be bothered. And he said that yesterday. He said that in his press conference. He said, he was asked about it. He goes, I've got better things to do with my time. I don't need to be there.
Only Wayne Bennett. Yeah. I love it.
Right. The Dragons, some week.
What reaction are we going to get from on Sunday night? That's the question to me.
Loz, you've said to me about this game. What have you said to me? Come on, put him out there.
Oh, I think Sharks are specials.
There you go,
specials,
Adam.
Boss. Specials.
Yeah.
13 plus?
No, I wouldn't say 13 plus, but I think the Sharks are specials.
I think the Dragons have shown some encouraging signs, Loz, the first 2 weeks. And I know they got blown off the park late by the Broncos, but this is a real test of their mental fortitude now, isn't it? Just given what's been in the news cycle this week. And it's probably not entirely unexpected, and I still believe the Dragons board have probably done the right thing by being transparent with Anthony Griffin and let him know the process they're going to undertake. But if performances really dip in the next 3 to 4 weeks, well, then there's going to be some serious issues, isn't there, for the rest of 2023. So I can see them being competitive against the Sharks. I don't think the Sharks have been anywhere near their best so far in the first 3 games of the season. Nico Hines is a huge return. I'm really keen to see what Craig Fitzgibbon's going to do with Matt Moylan and Braden Trindle. Because I think you could make a case to say that Braden Trindle's almost been their best player in the first 3 games of the year. And he's pushing Matt Moylan hard for that starting half spot alongside Nico Hines. So just keen to see how that plays out in the next few weeks.
Your mail for tomorrow. What have you got?
This is an extremely difficult program, Jared. I'm very cautious a bit early at the moment. I just want to see what the weather's going to be like in the next 24 hours and what the track comes up tomorrow. It's a deep, deep program. Just the one best bet on the program for me so far, that's race 6, number 6, Statement for Joseph O'Brien, the mare who's coming out to have a first start in Australia. Listen, we don't know a whole lot about her. She hasn't trialled out here in Australia. Obviously, she's first up for a very long time. But just going back through a couple of her old replays, she's a serious, serious horse. And at the price, I'm happy to be with her, even though she's relatively short in this market for the Emancipation. That's race 6, number 6, Statement is my best bet on the program at the moment.
6-6, Statement, and in the Emancipation, $4. We've tabbed Johnny Allen in the saddle for Joseph O'Brien. Barrier 2, mate. We've got Mitch Beer in the house here, so we're going to let you go. Have a great weekend.
He's much more entertaining than me, Joe. Enjoy the weekend, boys.
Good on you, mate.
See you, buddy.